Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
As part of our Climate Solutions series, today we look at what happens to oil and gas wells when they stop making money. Drillers are supposed to plug them before moving on, but that doesn't always happen. And even when it does, these orphan wells can leak harmful gases, including climate-warming methane. The infrastructure bill created a $4.7 billion program to fix that, but it's not enough to plug every well. Back in June, we first aired this story by Here and Now's Chris Bentley.
This is the well. The serial number is 2021-88.
Druish Trahan has seen a lot of abandoned wells, but the oil well site supervisor says each one is a little different. Today's job started simple enough, hauling equipment down a rural road to a ranch outside Shreveport. But Trahan says they can't yank out the abandoned well's tubing, the steel pipe that runs down 3,900 feet into the earth, which means this job just got more complicated.
It's stuck.
So they have to lower something called a jet cutter down the hole and set off an explosion to cut the tubing above where it's stuck.
She gone.
And now that that's done, they can get started in earnest filling the well with cement. Well number 2021-88 was drilled in 1985, but it hasn't produced oil or gas since 2010. And it's been sitting in the middle of this pasture in Greenwood, Louisiana ever since. It's not a derrick or a big rig like you might be picturing. This is a small tower of pipes and valves jutting 5 to 10 feet out of the ground.
Euphemistically referred to as the Christmas tree.
That's Patrick Courage with the Louisiana Department of Natural Resources. He says the company that operated this well stopped responding to regulators and eventually had their business license revoked in 2018. At that point, the DNR put all of the company's wells on the orphan list, and the company's owners are barred from drilling again in the state. Courage says that's become an increasingly common fate.
A couple of different things have happened. One, you've had a couple of real nasty downturns in the oil patch. When you see oil prices drop, we get more orphans because, you know, this isn't generally your ExxonMobils, your Shells. This is small operators, but they may operate dozens and dozens of very low performing wells. And when you see that price drop, they got no margin. They don't have investors. So if they're not making the money, they go under. They can't keep them up, or they just go out of business. We end up having to orphan them.
And that means the state ends up paying for the cleanup, often tens of thousands of dollars per well, times nearly 4,500 wells on the official orphan list in Louisiana. Some of that money comes from fees drillers pay to pump oil and gas in the state. And Louisiana is among several states tightening rules on companies to make it harder for them to walk away without properly plugging their wells. But even the most stringent regulations aren't enough to cover the mounting costs of cleaning up after the millions of wells nationwide. That's where the money from the infrastructure bill comes in. Courage says it's doubling, maybe tripling, the number of wells they're able to plug this year.
None of this fixes the problem. It just helps. And every well we get plugged, it's one less place you've got access from oil and concentrated brine and methane to get to the surface.
We have about 1 million active wells in the United States and about 3 million of these inactive wells, so we need to clean those up.
That's Amy Townsend Small of the University of Cincinnati. She's been studying methane emissions from the oil and gas industry, and she says active wells actually leak a lot more than abandoned ones on average, and her research shows it's a relatively small percentage of very leaky wells that are responsible for most of the emissions. But it's hard to know the full scope of the climate impact because some of those leaky wells could be flying under the radar.
And that's true for abandoned wells as well as active wells and all other sources. Because there's so many abandoned wells, we don't know if we've accurately measured or captured how many of these very high emitting abandoned wells there are.
There are definitely some leaky wells here in the Gulf of Mexico. On this cloudy day in May, I'm on a boat off Plaquemines Parish with the environmental group Healthy Gulf. Flocks of hungry seabirds trail shrimp boats. Pelicans coast over oyster beds marked with long bamboo poles. We even pass a pod of bottlenose dolphins. And we have no trouble spotting some rusty Christmas trees poking out of the shallow waters. These are old oil and gas wells that are either shut in, meaning they're sealed temporarily and might go back into production someday, or abandoned and left to decay in the Gulf. Like this one, which landed on Louisiana's list of orphan wells almost 30 years ago. The state's report from 2017, the last time it was inspected, notes the cribbing is rotten, and our methane detector goes off immediately. And when Justin Soleil of Healthy Gulf reaches out to touch one of the valves, it lets out a puff of gas.
There should be a gauge on that.
That's an open valve, man.
This is supposed to be closed. Supposed to be in the closed position, but the valve isn't in the closed position. We've seen that it's leaking. There's about an inch of the original casing that has completely rusted off. If this was hit by a barge or accidentally hit by a boat, it would fall over.
And what about if it were hit by a hurricane?
If it would have hit by a hurricane, another one like Ida, I don't know if it would withstand it.
And this is typical? Like, there's hundreds of these around here? Thousands of these?
There's thousands of these wells that dot these bayous and pipeline canals and the shores of South Louisiana.
We smell another well almost as soon as we see it. Our boat's captain, Richie Blink, says the air tastes like you're downstairs at a Jiffy Lube. Elsewhere, we see steel storage tanks crumpled and fallen into the water, likely thrown off their platforms by Hurricane Ida in 2021. And next to that wreckage, a well orphaned in 2007 that's leaking a sludgy black liquid. We also see wells that have been properly plugged, and plenty of wells still working. But Scott Eustace, Healthy Gulf's community science director, says the state should be paying more attention to this area when deciding where to spend that federal money for plugging wells.
You know, the department can plug around 300 official orphan wells a year, but the list grows sometimes by 1,000 a year. So we're just not keeping pace, and they're not being prioritized by methane. Mm-hmm. They're being prioritized by how cheap it is mm-hmm. per well. Right. But we're arguing if you get in the water, if you get on the coast, if you get in the places affected by hurricanes, you're going to be abating more methane.
Methane is a potent greenhouse gas, which is one of the main reasons the federal government is devoting billions of dollars to finding and plugging old wells. And managing methane emissions from active and abandoned wells is a key part of Louisiana's climate action plan. But the state is not systematically tracking methane leaks. And even when a leak is spotted by inspectors, it can go on leaking for years before it's plugged. For its part, the state says it is developing a plan with Louisiana State University to better address methane leaks, using all the data it's gathering from the recent uptick in well capping work. Patrick Kuresh with the Louisiana Department of Natural Resources.
Regulators in the U.S. are geared for looking for big leaks, big releases. Historically, not so much looking at the cumulative impact of a lot of little leaks. That's changing. But part of change is figuring out, okay, how do we do it different? How do we do it better? How do we adjust to this, you know, new situation we're looking at?
That change is happening too slowly for environmental groups like Healthy Gulf and for members of the United Houma Nation, a tribe in southern Louisiana that is not federally recognized, which shuts them out from some federal funds meant for cleaning up orphan wells on tribal lands. Clarice Freeloo says she and her neighbors in the community of Grand Bois have been dealing with the refuse of the fossil fuel industry for decades.
You know, in the early, 30s and 40s, oil and gas came through the Houma Nation properties. And of course, our people were not allowed to read and write. So our land was taken away from us by a signature of a promise of a lease. So all my life I've seen the pipelines. The same pipelines are still there.
Freeloo would like to see oil companies pay more to clean up the damage their industry has caused to Louisiana's coast and to native people.
They need to give back. You can't just take and take and not return.
The Louisiana Oil and Gas Association declined our requests for an interview, and requests to other industry groups were not returned. But the biggest emitters might have to start paying more soon. In addition to states like Louisiana tightening their own regulations on orphan wells, the Inflation Reduction Act called for a new tax on methane emissions starting next year. Back on the shore after our boat trip, Scott Eustace of Healthy Gulf says one thing the government and industry can do right now to address the problem is start listening to the people who live on the coast.
There's a budget to plug these wells because of the methane problem, but we're not measuring the methane. So we're going to do better if we bring those federal monies into the coastal waters. And we're going to do better if we recognize the United Home and Nation, because maintaining our coastal culture is part of how we're going to survive.
And he says there's no time to waste. That coastal culture is already dealing with storms turbocharged by climate change. For Here and Now, I'm Chris Bentley.